Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the political cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, February 2nd. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight from our flagship radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, if you thought last week's interview with Alveda King was groundbreaking for the show, you ain't seen nothing yet. Our first guest of the evening, the featured guest of tonight's broadcast, is a man that will need no introduction, so I'm not even going to waste time reading you his bio. Reverend Al Sharpton, are you with us? Reverend Sharpton, are you there?
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
All right, everybody. Now, that was our poor attempt at humor after last week's, and I don't even know what that was, but James Edwards, Keith Alexander, here with you tonight. You know, Al Sharpton, we actually have had a run-in with Sharpton, you know, quite famously, and it was one of the things that gave the show its reputation back in the early days, back in 2005, and it's been a story that's been told so many times on the show, I'm not going to go back into it, but we were on one side of the Nathan Bedford Forest Park issue here in Memphis. Of course, Sharpton was on the other, and we had him cancel his march because we had taken out a location in between his route, and we had more demonstrators than he did, and we got a lot of TV time, and it really was our first claim to fame. So we have done business with Al Sharpton. We stared him down and ran him out of town and won the day and protected Nathan Bedford Forest's park. Again, a story that's been told and retold a lot. So we don't have Al Sharpton tonight, but we did have Martin Luther King's niece on last week. I got a lot of good emails from that interview. To me, you know, I've had a week to reflect and I really don't know what to make of it. So I get the email from her handler and I think about it for a few days. We have her on and I'm thinking, well, she wants to come on this particular show for a reason. She has to know who we are. I'd made the decision in advance to treat her with respect and with dignity, basically to treat her the way that I'm never treated when I get interviewed. And we had some issues of common ground, and I wanted to let that be known. And then she didn't say anything. She didn't challenge me. I asked her a couple of questions about racial hypocrisy and politically correct double standards. But for the most part, it was like a couple of boxers that just spend the whole round feeling each other out and then go back to their corners and go home. I don't know. I guess it was noteworthy for the fact that that was Martin Luther King's niece, and there was actually a host that had the guts to ask her, should white people be entitled to representation? Should white people have unique group interests the way that the blacks and everyone else does? I guess that's probably a question she's never been asked in her decades and decades of activism. You know, imagine that, though. I mean, that in and of itself is something to hang your hat on. No one else would do that except for this show. So that was enough, but I expected and was hoping for much more. I wanted a robust debate of the issues, and we didn't get it. We asked for more time, didn't get it. She didn't say much on the air. I had a couple of relatively softball questions for this show, certainly harder than anything she's ever dealt with before. But I don't know, a week has passed, and it hasn't made any more sense. And, you know, no news coverage came of it. I was thinking perhaps that might be the case. Maybe she was doing it to get in the news. Maybe she was doing it to send out a fundraising letter saying that she had the guts to stare down the evil James Edwards. I have no idea, and it don't pay to find out. So it's just going to be one of the quirky chapters in the cesspool's history.
James, I wouldn't give it another thought. This is Keith, by the way. I think that you did a really good job in just presenting the basic question, which is every other racial and ethnic group besides white Gentiles is not only allowed but encouraged to lobby for its own interests, to organize. They have freedom of association. Only white Gentiles are called racists and bigots when they try to do what everyone else does. And the subject has to come out there. Of course, when the subject does, it's dismissed out of hand. I remember William Raspberry, the black syndicated columnist and editorialist, whose articles have undoubtedly run in your daily paper at one time or another. In fact, I would imagine that if he didn't have an article in your daily newspaper this year, or really even in the last six-month period, that would be remarkable. He said that whites can never be allowed to organize like other groups, and left it just at that. No explanation as to why that is, no rationale for it, and that the reason is obvious, because if whites were allowed to organize, they were allowed to lobby the legislature, to lobby the courts. You know, just imagine lobbying the courts. This is something that Hispanics have started doing, just like blacks. The courts are supposed to be above the fray. They're not supposed to be subject to political pressure, but that doesn't stop these racial minorities, so-called minorities, from doing that. They're going to corrupt everything. They think everything is there to be politicized. But Raspberry knows that if whites did just like everyone else, we would carry the day. We would raise consciousness. We would raise awareness. And consequently, the jig would be up, as they say. And all of the leftist agitation would be for naught.
Well, that being said, Keith, it has been a very big week for the radical egalitarians. We have women now going to be serving in combat. That's going to be one of our featured issues coming up later in the show. We might touch on it a bit here in the early goings, but later on tonight, we're going to talk about it. Jared Taylor was not scheduled to come on the show, but I got an email from him, and he had written this incredible, and we posted it to the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think it was the definitive response to why women should not be serving in combat and why that is just such a sick, sick notion. Well, it was so good. I said, listen, I know you were on a couple of weeks ago. We got to have you back on tonight. So he's coming on to the very end of the show in the third hour, last half hour of the third hour. But above and beyond women being able to serve in the military, also within the last few days, it looks as though the Boy Scouts are capitulating on sodomite scoutmasters. I mean, that's more progress being made. So now you're going to have homosexuals taking your little boys out into the woods. And so that's coming soon to a scout pack near you. But did you get this? Israel, the state of Israel, the nation of Israel, has been caught forcibly sterilizing Africans. Black Africans, I mean, what other kind are there, I guess? Besides, they're not sterilizing South Africans. But, you know, eugenics would be another word for that, I guess you could say. And you know what kind of people we were always taught, you know, the bedtime stories we read about the people who smash windows and pull out people they don't like and deport them or put them in camps or, you know, sterilize them. Well, now, look who's doing it. You're going to think this is a joke. We just played a joke on you about Al Sharpton. This is not a joke. This is happening. They've been caught. They've admitted it. Forcibly sterilizing black Africans from Ethiopia. We're coming up on a break. We're going to tear that story up. Let Keith tell you his thoughts on it. Legos are racist. Did you know that kids building blocks and toys could be racist, Keith? Well, they can now. And Legos indeed are. We're going to talk about that much, much more this hour. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Okay, so here's the story. And I got to admit, I stand in awe when I observe Israel's domestic policy and the rhetoric with which they espouse in regards to immigration. Now, let's recap some of the measures, and we've covered this all on the show in recent months. But number one, measures Israel's taken in recent months to stem their immigration problem, which I believe they had 60,000 illegal immigrants in the state of Israel. I compare that to what we got over here. But number one, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warns that Israel could be swamped by illegal aliens from Africa. They say that the influx is, quote, threatening the fabric of Israeli society, its national security, and its national identity. All very good points. I agree with him 100%. We say that here, and we get shouted down as being xenophobic by the same people that say this over there about their country. Likud MK Mary Regev participated in an anti-immigration protest and said that the Sudanese were cancer in the body of Israel. Israel started rounding up illegal aliens wherever they found them and immediately went into the action of deporting them. Citizens of Israel were breaking the glass out of shops and homes where these African immigrants were living, routing them out. But now, the cherry on top of the cake is that Israel has been caught forcibly sterilizing Africans within their borders. Here's the story. And it's all over the internet. All you got to do is search for it. It's not a conspiracy. It's not a hoax. It is what it is. On Sunday, it was reported that Israel has finally admitted to systematically depressing the fertility of Ethiopian immigrant community by injecting Ethiopian Israeli women. I guess they have something, you know, like we have African Americans. They have Ethiopian Israeli women. I don't know what that is. Ethiopian Israeli women with the long-acting birth control agent Depo-Provera without informed consent. In some cases, women reported that they were given the drug while still in transit camps, whatever that is. In other cases, it seems women were regularly injected after arriving in Israel. Some women said they knew they would be given the birth control, but said they wouldn't be led into Israel if they didn't agree to it. Others reported that they were told that they were, quote-unquote, inoculations. So isn't this interesting, Keith? You get all this anti-immigrant rhetoric. They're breaking out glass. They're deporting them. They're calling them cancer. They're sterilizing them. you know, since the same folks who are in charge of Israel run the American government, can we expect similar immigration measures coming soon to a city near us? Number one question for you, Keith. And number two, in the meantime, why isn't worldwide condemnation being heaped onto the feet of the Jewish state? Do you think we'd hear about any of this stuff, forced sterilization, for instance, if, say, Germany was implementing such a practice? A story so wild, you'd only hear about it here. And why is it that, have you heard anything about this on Fox, CNN, any of the alphabet soup networks? This would be a worldwide story if a white nation was doing it.
Well, the silence is deafening. And, of course, the reason they're attracting African, black African immigrants to Israel is because, one, it's the nearest first world nation to black Africa, and two, Israelis, Jews, are perceived by most of the world as white. But as we see from this particular story, there is a very important difference between them and the rest of the white population, or the population that passes as white, okay? They don't consider themselves white, and this shows you that they don't consider themselves as white. They consider themselves as a breed apart. Now, this tells you that Jews, who are basically a danger to white Gentile nations because they are the most liberal group that passes as white in the population, and liberalism is a strategy for the dispossession, decline, and downfall, and ultimate death of white nations. They're going to try to, by one method or another, make our numbers shrink and allow non-whites to increase, except in their own state. Now, they're doing this for a purpose, and the reason you're not hearing it is because the same people that control the news media here in America, which is the Jewish community, the Jewish population, 8 out of 8 CEOs of the major movie studios are Jews. Jews are sprinkled throughout influential positions in the news media. They own the New York Times, Washington Post, all of these other big news agencies, ABC, NBC, CBS. So you don't hear about it over here, but also you don't hear about it in Europe. The only places where you're going to hear this story is like Al Jazeera, or in Russian TV, where they have specifically come out as recognizing that Jewish power and influence is a pernicious influence, and they don't allow it to get a foothold. When you allow it to get a foothold, it takes over, and when it takes over, stories like this are smothered in the cradle.
I just can't get over it. So they're sterilizing people. No one's talking about it. You know, we went to war, the Second World War, was supposedly to protect things from this from happening, and now the people that were supposed victims of all that are the ones perpetrating it. You know, you just can't beat that.
Maybe they dreamt it up. Have you ever thought about that? You know, the fact that they're doing it now shows that they apparently have it in mind, and maybe the whole thing was a fraud. You know, there are people that say that. We're not saying that, but on the other hand, when you see things like this, you know, Kristallnacht, which is supposed to be this horrible episode in human depravity, an example of human depravity never matched before, bears an eerie similarity to what the Jewish community is doing against the African immigrant shopkeepers in the state of Israel. Likewise, the sterilization. Without informed consent, could you imagine what the predominantly Jewish American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, would do in America if something like this was even hinted? I mean, there would be a full-blown lockdown of the community where this supposedly happened. But again, confront Jewish people about this, and they shrug their shoulders.
I guess their reasoning is that if it happened to us, we can do it to other people. What else can you say? But this is a story you got to read. And I got more. It's not quite as serious as that. I mean, that's one of the most astonishing stories I think we've ever covered on the show. The fact, wow. And, you know, no one's calling them out. I guess you can't criticize Israel. Anyway, not when they control the media. That's right. Well, I want to get into this story. The Muslims have somehow jumped up a couple of rungs on the diversity totem pole. Normally, they were pretty much down towards the bottom. I mean, whites are at the very bottom, heterosexual whites, at least. Muslims are kind of like one step up. When they go against Christianity, they're elevated. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this story about how Legos are racist. And I even put the picture of the racist Legos up on our site. You're going to want to take a look at that, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I mean, stuff like this, you just can't make it up, folks, and it's not going to get any play in the mainstream media except for on this show and on this network. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk about that. White people were called crazy crackers by a not just a columnist or a commentator, but a full panel of MSNBC television personalities. They called them crazy white crackers, and everybody started laughing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the racist Legos. A lot of politically correct Super Bowl stories popping up the night before the big game. I'll tell you what, we're going to do as much as we can over the course of the next 2.5 hours. We're going to blow your mind. We're going to cover stories quick. We're going to hit you hard. We're going to do rapid fire. You're going to be the tackling dummy, and I'm just going to let Keith go to town. So just stay tuned. We're going to abuse you when you come back. So here it comes. Get ready.
We'll be back right suit after up. These messages.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number 2. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month. Naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith, here's your mission if you choose to accept it. Now, I know we like to saturate coverage of any given story. We normally spend one segment per story. I want to cover three stories because they're all interrelated in this one segment. Here we're going to go. We're going to start. We're going to go fast. All right, Lego's accused of racism. Now, here's the scoop. Turks in Austria say that Lego's Jabba's palace, as in Jabba the Hutt, looks like a mosque, and Lego's Star Wars villain Jabba the Hutt perpetuates racism and prejudice towards Muslims. How that is, I don't know. I mean, Jabba the Hutt's a green-looking fat worm. How that has anything to do with a Muslim, you tell me. Some Turks in Austria have lodged a formal complaint over Lego's Jabba Palace, saying Lego is encouraging racial prejudice and perpetuating negative images of Muslims. Again, how? You tell me. But get this, Lego fell on the sword. So Lego has this Star Wars-themed Jabba the Hutt Palace. Muslims in Austria, first of all, why are there even Muslims in Austria complaining about anything? Austria is not a Turkish country. It's not a Muslim country. It's a white Christian European country. It's Austria. And so, but there they are causing trouble. And Lego caved into the absurdity, which will come as no surprise to my audience. But here's the backstory on this one that I found particularly profound. And Courtney, one of our contributors on the blog, actually knew about this, which impressed me. But they're saying that this represents the mosque Hagia Sophia. Well, Hagia Sophia wasn't even a mosque to begin with. It's in Istanbul. Istanbul used to be Constantinople before it fell and before it, changed over into a sort of an Arab state. But so Istanbul used to be Constantinople. Hagia Sophia was a Christian church before it was desecrated by the Muslims and turned into a mosque. And basically all they did, they didn't change the church. It's still the same building that it always was. It's just a mosque now because they put up those grotesque, obnoxious eyesores. They built like four or five minarets around it, and then they called it a mosque. Well, it's still a Christian church in a former Christian city, in a former Christian country. And, you know, these squatters just desecrated it. But anyway, that's a little background history on the alleged mosque that is being perpetrated in this Lego scene. And it looks nothing like it anyway. But all you got to do is lodge the complaint. And if you're non-white, whoever you're complaining against is going to roll over on their belly and play dead. And that's what Lego has done.
Well, yeah, you have to realize that the Christian church originally was split into two primary subdivisions. The primary subdivisions were the Eastern Church, headed up in Constantinople or Byzantium, even before then, right, it was called, and Rome, the Western Church. So the Hagia Sophia Church Cathedral was the Eastern Church's equivalent of St. Peter's in Rome. And this part of the Christian West finally fell to the Ottoman Turks in 1453, and they summarily started desecrating all the Christian sites or converting them, like this, into a Muslim shrine, a Muslim temple, or what do you call them? What are the church buildings of Islam called? A mosque, yeah, right. They turned it into a mosque. And quite frankly, you know, I've seen this before. In fact, anybody that's seen the James Bond, Sean Connery movie From Russia with Love will remember the scene where James Bond is pursuing this guy through this, tourist attraction in Istanbul. And that tourist attraction is the Hagia Sophia Mosque. So consequently, you know, that it's a commonplace thing. And quite frankly, I've seen a picture of the mosque, formerly the church, compared with the Lego item that they found objectionable. And quite frankly, it only has the vaguest similarity. I would never have imagined it was in any way a takeoff on that mosque. But these exquisite sensibilities of minorities have to be taken seriously, apparently, by all white Christian nations. And you have to wear the knees out on your pants begging for forgiveness from these people for totally spurious claims like this. I tell you what, why don't they just tell them to shove it where the sun don't shine, Jack?
Well, that's exactly what they should have done. Instead, you're not going to have to worry about seeing this anymore, at least on the shelves, Keith, because Lego pulled them. But now I got one even better than that. Now, there's some racist Super Bowl ads you might have to see tomorrow. Cover your eyes, kids. But I got to ask, when did the Muslims figure out that they could also cry about imaginary racism and get away with it, just like the other minorities? I mean, first we had this Lego product pulled because they pretended it looked like a church that they had desecrated. Now, a Coke ad that you'll see in the Super Bowl tomorrow, Arabs are calling it racist. Muslims are calling it racist because it depicts an Arab and a camel together. I mean, they do ride camels, don't they? So basically the gist of this ad is that the Arab and the camel are in the desert and they see an oasis and it's a big Coke bottle or something. It doesn't look like a minaret. It just looks like a Coke bottle. But this is the statement. Because it has an Arab and a camel, and here's what they said. A Coke ad is called racist for Super Bowl 2013. The commercial allegedly involves negative depictions of Arabs. It invokes negative stereotypes of Arabs. It says, what message is Coke trying to send with this? The Coke commercial is racist, portraying Arabs as backwards and foolish camel jockeys. You know, apparently, the only time that racism doesn't exist is in the few instances where it actually does. Try being a white person complaining about race-based preferences like affirmative action, where the standard of measurement is quotas rather than excellence, and the silence will be deafening. Try being a more qualified student, and you get passed over for a scholarship because you're white. Well, that's not racism. But a toy that looks nothing like a historic Christian church that you turned into a mosque, that's racism. You know, because there's an Arab and a camel in a commercial together, that's racist. I mean, again, am I wrong here, Keith? I mean, there are camels in those countries, and they do use them. And I guarantee you Coke's going to pay through the nose to settle this in one way or another.
You know, James, there may be a little bit of something to this because I guarantee you Coca-Cola themselves didn't come up with this. Madison Avenue advertising agencies did. And as we all know, Madison Avenue advertising agencies, just like the movie industry, just like the news media, just like the sports media, is a stronghold of Jewish power and influence. So consequently, Jewish power and influence may have decided that they wanted to run something that would be offensive to Muslim sensibilities. But quite frankly, if they want to get offended, they need to get in line behind us white Gentiles, because white Gentile men are the prototypical boobs and ignoramuses, according to Madison Avenue. Of course, you never see anything having a negative depiction of a Jewish person, man, woman, or of anything else. And why would that be, Jane?
Well, we know why. You make a great point, Keith. Okay, so they're upset about this one commercial. How many hundreds or thousands of commercials have there been where whites have been portrayed as rednecks, hicks, idiots, you know, as you said, ignoramuses, wife beaters, you name anything but something that well, frankly, closely resembles us. Oh, one more story about the Super Bowl. In case you didn't hear about it, one of the star players for the San Francisco 49ers, and while this was even a question pertinent to the Super Bowl, again, you tell me, but he was asked during an interview, are there any homosexuals on his team? And that was the question. Are there any sodomites?
San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, insert your joke about San Francisco. But the guy said, Here's what he said. He said, I don't do gay guys, man. I don't do that. No, we don't got no gay. You know, of course, he's black, so pardon my grammar here. But I'll give him credit for what he said. I'll give him credit for what he said. I'm actually on this guy's side. I don't do gay guys, man. I don't do that. No, we don't got no gay people on the team. They got to get up out of here if they do. Can't be with that sweet stuff. Nah, can't be. Not in the locker room. Nah. They can come out 10 years later.
Who
so it's San Francisco cornerback Chris Culliver, one of their star players, and he's on the Super Bowl playing tomorrow.
Oh, the African-American persuasion.
Well, he's black. Yeah, Chris Culliver, but yeah, that is actually, he's black. So, I mean, I know since his name wasn't, you know, Marshawn or Jamarcus or something like that, it might have fooled you, but he is black. But listen, I'm on his side 110%. Why they asked him the question, again, had nothing to do with the game. We're going to come up to a break, Keith, so I'm going to let you answer on the flip side. But they asked him about it, and he gave a very honest reaction. Well, you know what happened next. You know what happened next, and I'm going to tell you right after this. Stay tuned. Oh, you know what happened.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, quick recap. So in this media interview, one of the San Francisco 49er star players is going to be participating in the Super Bowl tomorrow. was asked his opinion of homosexuals. He said, you know, I don't want them around, don't want any on the team, don't want them in the locker room, don't want them, don't like them. And it's a sad day when such a normal and healthy opinion on the perversion of sodomy has to be elevated as a courageous act of defiance. I mean, this isn't a story. I mean, don't all normal people feel like this? This is how far America has fallen. You know, this guy says something like this, and he, frankly, is almost a hero for those of us, and the majority of us who take a biblical view of sodomy. But the plot immediately thickened minutes after the interview. First of all, the organization itself, and you could say, yeah, well, it's San Francisco. They're in San Francisco. Well, still, look, even in San Francisco, I guarantee you the number of fans at a San Francisco 49ers game on any given Sunday that are homosexual is in the single digits. So, but the organization immediately issued a groveling apology to homosexuals. And they came out with this lavish ad saying the 49ers support gay rights. And of course, this player was forced to apologize, you know, within hours of his statement. But at least he was honest in the beginning. I mean, he had to apologize. I don't guess he had to, but you know, they told him to, and he did. He was a good boy. But you know what? Isn't that normal? He didn't want to be around them.
Well, James, this exposes a very important fault line in the constituent organizations that are part of the American left. Black people aren't very tolerant of homosexuality. They, in fact, are very vocal in their denunciation of homosexuals and homosexuality. And this has caused no end of problems for the left, the hierarchy, which is primarily Jewish, of the left in America. And basically, they have performed a beatdown on a lot of black organizations. For example, the NAACP was more or less informed that if they wanted to continue to get money, and of course the source of their money is Jewish power and influence again, they were going to have to pull in their horns and bite their tongues about their opposition and their intolerance of homosexuality. And like the lapdogs that they are, they did, because as they say in the black community here in Memphis, money talks and BS walks, and everything except money is BS. So, and quite frankly, we pointed this out many times, nothing in the civil rights movement, none of these so-called courageous moves by Martin Luther King or Dick Gregory or James Meredith or any of these other people would ever have happened if they had not been paid, and the source of the payments was ultimately the Jewish community. They're the ones that provided the money. If Martin Luther King, for example, had not gotten money from the Communist Party and from Jewish sympathizers and activists from the left, he would have given up this project in short order and started just becoming a regular black preacher shaking down his congregation for ever more money. None of these people would have followed through on this. See, that's one of the great myths of the American civil rights movement, but somehow all of these people just got sick and tired of being sick and tired, linked arms, started swaying back and forth, singing spirituals, and the walls came a-tumbling down. It wasn't like that at all. It was all sustained by Jewish power and influence and the money that they needed to get the attention and the participation and the cooperation of the leaders in the black community. And you'll never hear that on the mainstream media, but that's the truth. And that's what happened to Chris Culliver, this black defensive back for the San Francisco 49ers. They basically came to him and had a prayer meeting with him and told him, if you like to get paid a seven-figure salary, you're going to come out here and start shucking and jiving and doing a tap dance for us and telling us how sorry you were that you said something that was offensive to homosexuals. Now, the black civil rights community basically was not on board for the latest initiative of the American left, which is gay rights, homosexual marriage, and all of that. And they had to get hammered into line by the cultural Marxist Jewish leadership contingent in a big hurry. And this is another example of that.
Well, it is what it is, and, you know, I missed a great deal of the battle being born in 1980. A lot of America's downfall had already occurred, but even in the early 80s and even the early 90s when I was growing up, it was just a completely absurd and ridiculous notion to believe that there would come a day when women would be serving in combat and homosexuals would be considered greater than heterosexuals. They'd be marrying. You'd have to apologize if you took a biblical and Christian view towards the perversion of homosexuality. Gay scoutmasters, and I'll be damned if it hadn't all happened, Keith. And that's within the 30 years of my lifetime. You go back 30 years before that into the 50s, and you look back from 50 until today, and this is where we are. And speaking about those homosexual scoutmasters, you might as well brace yourselves for it, ladies and gentlemen. Just days after a Maryland-based Cub Scout pack was forced to back down on a non-discriminatory pledge because of a reference to sexual orientation, the Boy Scouts of America will be changing its national stance towards the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. I'm reading from a story. I would never use those politically correct terms to refer to these creeps. But the fact of the matter is that NBC cites that a number of scouting officials and outsiders familiar with internal discussions say a revised Boy Scouts of America policy will lift the ban on gay participants from the National Youth Organization's rules and will also allow local sponsoring organizations to decide for themselves whether or not to admit gay scouts. So they're right there at the door. They're pushing the door open. They're about to walk through it. So again, Keith, within the last couple of weeks, gay Boy Scouts, gay Scoutmasters, you can't say anything. You can't take a Christian worldview towards sodomy, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a normal person. Women in combat, that is a pretty big week for their side of the equation.
Well, you know, they say that the Jewish power and influence likes to own both sides of each coin, and they do. And what they have done, again, is what they have always done. They have threatened the cash cow, the money sources of the Boy Scouts of America. And the Boy Scouts of America is like Gentile groups everywhere, basically want to find the off switch on all of this constant criticism, a la critical theory, the primary technique used by cultural Marxism. Relentless, never-ending, high-pitched criticism basically sets off a dog whistle, and people are just stopping their ears up like on one of these Twilight Zone episodes that you saw back in the 50s or the Outer Limits in the 60s, trying to find the off switch. And they've decided now that they're going to let this be a kind of local option thing. Now, of course, they didn't allow segregation to be a local option thing back in the 50s and 60s. Southerners that wanted to have segregated schools and segregated public facilities weren't allowed to go their way, while people that wanted integrated facilities in blue state America were allowed to go theirs. No, they had to be beaten into shape. But on the other hand, the Boy Scouts of America have been not so gently convinced or assured by the left that if they want their money to keep flowing from groups like the United Way and whatnot, they're going to fall into line and allow local option, which is going to be the camel's nose in the tent. And the next thing you know, in Foley, Alabama, or in Picayune, Mississippi, the Boy Scout troops are going to be led by people like the people that we featured on our blog entry. And if you haven't seen your child's new Scoutmaster yet, click it on and feast your eyes.
And then, of course, Keith, there's that issue of women in combat. And we're going to save the best for last. Jared Taylor's coming up at the very tail end of the show tonight, the last 30 minutes of the third hour, because he has written, again, what I feel as though is the definitive lament, dissent on this issue. But the question remains, what kind of a degenerate nation sends its daughters and mothers to fight in war? That is sick. That is more sick in many ways than this whole homosexual nonsense. At least they are a biological dead end. I mean, yeah, it's perverted that we condone it and appreciate it and elevate it in popular culture and allow them to recruit and glorify it. But what kind of a sick and degenerate country sends its women to fight and combat? Keith, you got 15 seconds. We can talk more about it in the next hour.
Well, they've turned the United States of America and the West generally into Outback Steakhouse, where there are no rules, just right. That's my comment.
Or just wrong in this case. We'll be back with the second hour right after this. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Number two of the political cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting,
hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.